Praise God. Hallelujah. We're ready to roll. Okay, we're going. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, Mike's talking about the Holy Spirit, and we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit some more. I don't know how long we'll go on to it. I had looked, I'd done some teachings really over a period of time. I forget how many number of teachings. It was actually in 2012 and into 2013 I had done this area. And I talked to the Lord about it because the Lord kept dealing me to go back into these areas to teach. And I'm sure it'll be different than I did before. Many things to be the same things. But the Lord told me to go back over into this area dealing with the Holy Spirit. Because this move of God that we're in, I'll tell you, we're not gonna do it without the Holy Ghost. We're not going to do it. It's not going to be happening without the Holy Spirit. And, over the years, I've learned more and more about the Holy Spirit in His work and what He does. It's one of the things that, from a ministry standpoint, and, over time, I realized there was numbers of experiences and things that I had over time, but I realized those experiences were not just for me to have. They were to learn things of how God works, to see you can teach other people. This is one thing you need about revelation. This is why some people never go on and really learn. They're always struggling to learn. They're always trying to, they don't ever seem to achieve or get to someplace, because Their learning process is mostly geared toward them. God reveals Himself so we can share it with others, so we can give things to other people. That's why He does it. I know when I was a young Christian, I saw as I was started out my Christian walk, I watched numbers of Christians who had came to Christ about the time that I did, got filled with the Holy Ghost. But I watched over a period of time, many of them didn't seem like they were going anywhere. And I often wondered, what's going on? And I asked the Lord one day, I said, why do you show me so many things? I said, there's just things and there's experiences and stuff I had. Why do you do that? What do you do it for? Why is it, I had enough sense to know that, God ain't just choosing a special person. God might choose a person to carry something out in ministry and anoint them and do things like He did with Kenneth Hagin and things. But it isn't because he was a special person. It's just He's the vessel God chose to do it. So I knew that was Him, but I looked at people, and I asked the Lord, I said, why aren't people developing? What happens? What happens to these folks? And the Lord said to me, one of the reasons He said, I give you revelation is because He said, you give it away. You'll give it to people. And see, that's the way I always was. I always thought that God gave you things, and when I found out something good, I didn't want to keep it to myself. I thought, if it's good, I thought other people might want it. Now, you have sometimes, some people don't want it. They just don't want to have it. I don't care how good it is, they don't want it. But it's not like that with everybody. I turn around and you offer it to people. Just think about Jesus. Jesus taught people when loads of them didn't want it. They didn't want it. But He taught it, He offered it to them anyhow. God offers things to people, and God begins to work in us. And if you want to develop and grow, the whole thing of it is I want to learn not just for Ed, I want to learn to help others too. I want to be able to minister to other people and help them. And you want to walk in line with that. That's one of the things about being filled with the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is of no value to an individual who's not going to do something with it to help others. And you need to understand that about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus spoke to the disciples, and we looked at last week, and He told them to go to Jerusalem and stay in Jerusalem, He said, don't go till you receive power from on high. See, He had commanded them to go out and take the gospel, to preach it in all the world, preach the gospel. He told them to do that. He said, don't do that till you get full of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Spirit was about ministering to others. That's what it's for. It was demonstrations, manifestations of the Holy Spirit working through individuals to demonstrate the gospel of Jesus Christ to people, that people can actually get to see it, not just hear it. There's one thing as I've learned about God. Ears. God is not a God of just about words. Most people, most Christians, and even most Spirit-filled Christians, one of their greatest problems is they think God is just words. And to them, God is demonstration. God manifests Himself. Words are of no value that cannot be manifested. See, words that don't perform something, what good are they? Words that don't do anything. See, I got words, but they don't do anything, Just say if you went to school and they gave you a math book and teaching you and they put words in there to explain a formula, but the thing don't work. What good are the words? It's what it performs or what it does. The Word of God performs and does things. The Word of God, Jesus said, the Word is living. It's alive. See, and Paul would really say it's living. It's active. It's active. It does things. And so the Holy Spirit, His whole thing working in us, is to demonstrate the Word of God to other people. Now, He'll demonstrate it to you like He taught me by demonstration, and demonstrating things to me reveal what the Word does, so you can demonstrate things to other people. You can, you know, so other people can experience the Word of God. See, you need to experience God, not just know about Him. Because you can know about God like you would know about George Washington, but that wouldn't be anything to many people. God is not really living, because He is only there. He's informational. Right now, that was one of the things that Randall Greer, the Lord told him, there's two types of churches in the world today. There's two types of churches. There is the church that is called the, he said, an informational church. And he said that's what most churches are informational churches. All they got's information about God. That's all they got. They just have the Bible, they give you information. But God's not real. See, the church needs to be a demonstrational church. It needs to be the church is where the Word of God is alive, it's living. And so having the Holy Spirit, and this is what really the baptism of the Holy Spirit is about. It's about bringing demonstration of God. It's about power. You know, Jesus told, it said concerning Jesus, that the ones when he, before he died on the cross and he was in the temple, and the statement was made in Scripture about being baptized in the Holy Spirit and with fire. And fire is a demonstration, really, of God. Really, fire used in the Bible deals with the power of God. And fire has to do with the believer. See, it's about us having the fire and taking the fire to somebody else. That's what we do. We take the fire to somebody else. Fire's not for the world. Fire's for the church. You'll never see in the demonstrations of fire, if you look in the Old Testament, the demonstrations of fire were always to Israel. You know, God's fire poured out when they dedicated Solomon's temple. The fire came down from heaven, burnt the offering up. Elijah, the fire came down, turned God's people around, to turn them around. Fire came out of heaven and burnt the offering up. It was the demonstration for God's people. Fire, one thing is, it can really be contagious. You know, fire, there's one thing about it. You go out here and start a fire, they always have to watch it. Don't catch other things on fire. God's fire is good because you want to get caught on fire with it. So if you see a fire of God going, run real close to it, catch on fire. These people like to watch fire at a distance, never catch on fire. These people like God at a distance, and they go to different kinds of meetings, and they'll watch what God does, but they don't want to get too close to it. You know, I don't know if I like that. I like to watch what He does, but way back, you'll never catch on fire. What you got to do is get in the fire. That's what you want to do. You know, it's like the kids come in this morning. You get to stand on the register. They want to heat up. You don't stand in the corner somewhere far away from the register trying to get heat. Well, say, so a lot of Christians do. Lots of Christians are trying to get hot, hiding out someplace, watching. That isn't how you get it. You see fire, dump gas on yourself and run into it. Hallelujah. That'll catch you on fire, and that's what you want to do. God wants you to burn up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There will be less of you and more of Him. And you know, we need to understand that. I believe many Christians have a great desire and heart to go after God, but what they do is they try to do it through natural means. No, I'm going to tell you, God's the only one. You know, this fire is from God. It was like Mike said, the changes over time that did in his life. Well, it didn't, it had to be God. It couldn't have been Mike, or it would have been changing before. You need to understand your need for God. This is what most Christians are trying to change their life so God will give them something. If God don't give Ed something, nothing changes. I learned that a long time ago. God must give me something to change. See, I was born and raised in a church, and the church that I was raised in, they loved Jesus and everything. But their basic way they taught that if you'll change, God will do something for you. That's basically what, you know, if you'll give up the smoking and drinking, God will save you. Say, dear Lord, if I could give up the smoking and the drinking, I wouldn't have needed saving by God. I could have done it myself. I needed God to get the saving so I could give up the smoking and the drinking. You know, I was an alcoholic and I could not see in any way that I could give. I didn't know how to give up alcohol. I was bound in it, man. I was bound in it and knew it. I knew I couldn't have gave it up. You know, I could quit drinking probably for 15 minutes. You know, at least to the other, you know, the glass ran dry, you know, until it took me to make the next drink. You know, I could quit. You know? But after, as soon as I got the other one next, we was drinking again. We were at it. I could not see myself. I remember this as a sinner. And I was in my house by myself in the living room. My wife was in bed. I had come home. I worked at second shift at Reese Candy Company. I'll never forget saying, I said this to the Lord. I said, Lord, if I have to quit drinking to get saved, I said, I'm going to hell. And this was the first time that I ever heard the voice of the Lord. You know, God even talked to sinners, my God. You know, I didn't fast a bit to have this happen. I wouldn't fast nothing. In fact, I was drinking at the time I said this to God. I was drinking. I'd come home from work. I would stop every night at this one place about 3 or 4 miles away from our house, and I'd buy 2 6-packs of beer. I'd get off work. I never drank at work. But I would stop there. Man, I couldn't wait to stop there. I'd stop there, and I would go, and I'd go in and buy 2 6-packs of beer. Now, I had beer at home, but you can't wait to get home. See, if you don't know about being an alcoholic, that's a lot of people don't understand what an alcoholic goes through. And they say, well, I'd only just quit. Yeah, well, why don't you quit talking so dumb? You would. I would stop, and that first can of beer, I'd walk out of that place, pop a can, and before I even got in the car to the parking lot, I'd already chugged a can. Man, I needed that thing by that time. I hadn't drank for 8 hours. And it was, I was coming unglued, you know, you need it. And I would drink 2 more cans until I got home. You know, 5-minute drive, and I'd already had 3 beers. And then I'd go in the house and I'd drink the rest of them and maybe some more before I went to bed. That's what I would do. And that night I just said to the Lord, if I have to give up drinking, I said, man, this boy's going to hell. And the voice of the Lord spoke to me and said, who told you that? Well, I said, Lord, that's all I've ever heard. I get straightened out. God accept me. He said, well, who told you that? I said, man, that's all I've ever heard. He goes, you go and look and read my word. Doesn't say any of that stuff. Well, I got the New Testament, started reading. I thought, well, I'll read where Jesus was around hanging out. I thought, it ain't there. It's not there. See, God came to deliver a man. And the church keeps trying to get delivered without God. See, you need God's power to change your life. You need God's power. God is not holding power back from the church. The church is resisting power. The church is once they say, oh, we want to see the power and we want the power. Yeah, we'd like to have it. But they're just they're really walking around trying to do everything under their own power as much as they can. Well, you know, if we really straighten out, God will do something. I'm going to tell you, if God don't do something, ain't nothing straightening out. I'm going to tell you, America, if America must straighten out for God to move, let's just close this thing down right now and let's all go to heaven and forget about this nonsense about our nation. There must be a move of God. There must be. If God's power doesn't move, everything stays the same. I've learned that a long time ago. Many times I've gone to God and say, God, I don't know what to do about me anymore. You're going to have to do something. God, do something to me to change me. Do something, Lord God, dear Lord. What don't I know about that you want to do to change me? Because I need the power of God. I can't imagine. I can't imagine doing it. How do people minister? I don't understand how they do this stuff. All this work these ministers do. I remember, you know, this big name minister back in the 90s. This guy came along. He's still around today. And he, you know, all this thing about leadership. And when you went through and read his book, I thought, my God, I sat down and read one of his books one day, and he has 47 of them. I thought, dear Lord, in my lifetime, I could never do all that's in that one book, and he's got all these other books, all this stuff you're supposed to do to be a great leader. I thought, dear Lord, I said, God, if I have to follow what this man says, take me home. I don't even want to stay here. Oh, man, everybody's eating up his stuff, and my, he was big promoted and still is promoted around and that stuff, and now he's out in the secular world doing the same stuff. I thought he was pretty secular then, and he was pretty secular. But the church just, you know, anything that the world will figure out, they'll take it and turn around and do it their own things and act like it's God. And he had all these things. I said, God, I said, you know, this, I can't see me doing these things. I said, God, if you told this man these things, I said, I can't see at all what you're saying. I have no clue what you're talking. I said, I would definitely need a revelation if this stuff came from heaven. Because I said, my God, I mean, the Bible is, it would be a speck compared to all he's written. And, so, anyhow, I found out, you know, that thing wasn't, but I need power to change. You need power. And I realize that. I realize you're not going to change. See, many people out here, they're trying to get changed through other people rather than through God. They're trying to, the church world's doing this all the time. You know, we want to minister, does all these things so it makes us feel good, and we learn and we do this stuff. It requires the power of God. No man can do for you what God does. No matter how much God anoints a man, you still need God more than you do the anointed man. Thank God what the anointed man can do. But you need God. And you need God touching your life. Not just somebody else's life and somebody God giving somebody else. Thank God what he touches into our own life. You want God to touch into your life. You want the anointing. Like we were singing this morning about being anointed. Hallelujah. You need the anointing. See, the demonstrations of the Holy Ghost, it's about the anointing. We get filled with the Holy Ghost and power. That's what God wants to do to people. Fill people with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That's his whole intent. And we need to understand it. We looked at last week. It was a command to the disciples to be filled. It's a command to be filled with the Spirit. The Bible commands it. And one of the things that we need to understand, we're dealing in a world where the majority of Christians, the majority of churches, and I'm not saying this to criticize, I'm saying this is for information that you understand. They know nothing about the move of the Spirit. They know nothing about it. They can't teach on it because they know nothing about it. They don't believe, the majority of the church world doesn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking other tongues. In fact, most of them believe it's the devil or just crazy people doing something. That's what they think it is. If they don't think it's of the devil, I know some of the churches don't think it's of the devil because they don't even believe in the devil anymore. They don't even think he exists. So they don't believe you're the devil. They just believe that you're probably on a drug or you're just a nut. You know, one of the two. And this is most of the church world. Most of the church world knows nothing of what the Bible teaches on the subject. They know nothing about it. They have no clue about it. They don't understand its importance. All they understand is the mental. Whatever comes from, really, the church is very psychological today. In fact, psychology has taken over in much of the church world, and even in the spirit-filled church world. Psychology, they call spirituality today. They teach it as things of the Spirit, and it's not things of the Spirit, it's psychology. They teach psychology. God has never, you know, I don't know that he has ever worked much in my psyche other than changing me through the man on the inside to wake up that little pea that's been rolling around up there, bouncing around between my ears, is awakening that thing. And that comes through the Holy Spirit working in me doing things. You know, like last night, you know, I went to bed. I don't know, something was going on in the inside of me, and the outside said, you know, you ought to be sleeping. But the inner man just kept this carrying on, talking in tongues. And I laid there, and I went to bed early, but fell asleep very late. I kept looking over at the clock and say, boy, hours are going by. And I get up, you know, I wake the rooster up on Sunday mornings. I wake him up, put him on the post, and let him crow. I'm up very early, and I thought, man, I ain't going to be getting any sleep. This guy on the inside of me is carrying on. He wants something. I don't know. You know, the whole thing. But my mind wasn't tied to what was going on. I don't know. And I thought, all I thought was my body would sure like to go to sleep. But on the inside, and I just lay there praying in tongues. See, it's outside the mental. It's outside the mental realm. See, when we have to operate all the time within under what we call understanding, many times, it ain't understanding a thing. In my best intellectual moments, over time that I thought, you know, I'd gotten bright about some things with God, I found out after a period of time I wasn't so bright after all, you know. Because you get a revelation from God and it'll shine on that thing that you thought you were really out there with. It was like, oh, how about that? Is that ever different now than what I thought it was going to be? Hallelujah. But that's it. I've learned is, what we want to is, there is really a know-it-all who lives in you. A know-it-all. The Holy Ghost. There's one who lives in you that knows everything. As Mike read this morning, this one, they called him the Comforter. He's the Helper. This one that is inside of us, the Bible talks about, he knows all everything God knows. He knows everything Jesus Christ knows. Well, last I heard, Jesus was God. The last I heard, the Holy Ghost was God too. And then the Father God. So they're all tied together. But this one that lives in us knows everything. And his job is to reveal that to us. Well, we know he doesn't reveal it to us through intellectualism because God is a spirit. The Holy Spirit's a spirit inside of us. He communes with your inner man. He communes with your spirit on the inside. The power that works in us to change the world is spiritual power. It's not mental power. There is certain things. I mean, there's people can do mental gymnastics, and some people, there's a certain type of mental power. But that isn't what God uses. God doesn't use mental power. God doesn't look at the guy who's the genius. If God worked with mental power, then the guy who went to school the most would be the guy who God would use the most. Well, we found out that sure ain't true in America. If you go to school long enough, God will never use you. He can't. You'll become a mental idiot. Because all they do is they stuff you with mental intellectualism and fill you with it in our schools today, and you grow up with totally unconscious that inside of you that you're a spirit being. You don't even believe it anymore. You don't even think it's true. All you are is a physical being with a brain. That's all you are. And that's the way they live out here. That's why our country's so messed up. Everybody's following the flesh because the flesh is, through intellectualism, is taught today. That's what it does. You teach people how to do stuff through their flesh and carry out the full desire of the flesh and do whatever it wants. And that comes through this intellectualism. That's where it's coming through. Well, see, if people can't hook up with God, that's why churches are so carnal today, is because they're not teaching anything spiritual. They're teaching carnal stuff. Just because they talk about Jesus don't mean they know anything about Jesus. Don't even mean they're born again. I know a minister would use the name of Jesus and talk about Jesus all the time from his pulpit. I found out later on that the guy wasn't even saved, didn't believe that you had to accept Jesus to go to hell. He didn't even believe in it. And everybody talked about him being a Christian. He was never a Christian. He was never born of God. He was the devil's kid. But you know what? He could read words, and he had this wonderful thing about it. Oh, yes, and he would use to tell things about Jesus. And he had no experience with Jesus at all in his life. I went one time to a funeral he did. He did a funeral, a person I knew, and he did their funeral. And I went out of courtesy for some of the people, and I went to the funeral. And this guy got up, and I'll tell you what, he must have quoted 100 scriptures out of the Bible. It was absolutely phenomenal. Here's a guy that ain't even saved. And he's out there quoting, but everybody thinks this guy don't know Jesus at all. He has no clue. He was asked one time why he was in the ministry, and he said, you go in the ministry because, he said, I chose as a vocation. God don't call you to be in a ministry. You just decide this is what you're going to do. See, I knew he wasn't saved. He never called his life. He was out there just conning people, and he was a con man. He was conning people and got himself a good paycheck doing it. Playing like he knew God, and he had thousands of followers. Thousands of followers. And I heard more Christians say, isn't he something? Isn't he? They don't even know. See, if you're not spiritual, you don't know who's spiritual or not. They crucified Jesus, the most spiritual guy in the earth. And who crucified him? The religious people. And if you don't learn to be spiritual, you'll be killing the spiritual people too. You got to be spiritual to know spiritual. You can't be fleshly and know spiritual. You can't do it. I don't know why I'm talking. I ain't got a note on this thing, but we're just going this way. Anyhow, maybe this is what I was praying about last night. I don't know. Anyhow, hallelujah. But, I want you to see it. This is why it is so important for us to move over to the areas of the Spirit. If we want to flow in the things of Spirit, we have to be in contact with the inner man, with the Spirit. That's why God wants me to put so much emphasis on this, is, we being led by the Spirit of God, being filled with the Holy Ghost. It doesn't make any sense to get baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak in other tongues. It doesn't make any rational sense. But if you understand the Scripture says, it makes total sense according to Scripture because it does things outside your abilities and my abilities, and that's what you and I need. You know, I said last week, Jude, and we use a scripture from Jude, where Jude said, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. He was talking about praying in tongues. The Apostle Paul, as we go on in these studies, if the Lord leads me, we'll look at the scriptures on that, about what the Bible talks about when it's talking about praying in the Spirit. Paul said when he prayed in the Spirit, he was praying in tongues. That's what he was doing. And see, we need to understand is getting over on a hookup on our inner man than rather with the outer man of the mind. See, I found this out. Like last night, you know, just think about this. If God wanted me to pray for something last night and he wanted to do it from my mind, then he would have to explain to me and give me all the revelation that I would need to properly pray that out. I found this a long time ago. That could take months. I don't know about you. I'm not Mr. Rocket Science. You know, sometimes I'm slow to figure some things out. It takes some time. He would have to explain it out. Yet he could speak. He could, through my own spirit, by the Holy Spirit, could speak things through me to pray out his plan and his purpose outside of my mentality. I just want you to know this. God ain't going to get nothing done if he can't operate outside Ed's mentality. He ain't going to get much done with it. I don't care how much you think you know about the Bible. I probably know a lot more than a lot of you. But this is what I learned about it. Compared to what God's doing, I don't know a thing. You might think you've arrived somewhere. You ain't even gotten over. If we would come and, you know, God could look at people from an intellectual standpoint and being able to do what they can do through their own prayer, operating through your own minds and things like that. I mean, if that was possible, then there is absolutely zero need for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It would never been needed. Would have had no need whatsoever. The baptism of the Holy Spirit leads us over into the supernatural. Without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, without the evidence of speaking in other tongues, you will never step over into the supernatural. See, that's why churches hide this stuff today. They hide it because the devil got them hiding it. Oh, if we do, people won't understand. They won't. I don't care if people understand. I'm not trying to reach your mind. When I preach to you, I'm not trying to reach your intellect. I'm trying to touch your heart. I'm trying to get you on the inside where you need touched. Where you need touched is on the inside. Ed needs touched on the inside. Ed needs something on the inside to get on the outside. I got enough on the outside. I got more on the outside than I need. I need changed on the inside. God works on man from the inside out, not from the outside in. Religion's always trying to change man through the outward man. And that's why it don't work. The 12-step programs are all about the outer man. They're not about the inner man. They're about the outer man. Oh, guy says, oh, yeah, I'm looking to a higher authority. What on earth does that mean? Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. You ain't looking for Jesus. You might quit your drinking, but you'll end up in hell. Who cares? You'll be a sober guy in hell. I'd rather be drunk and be there, I think. You'd be better off in hell with a sedative. Not going there wide awake. Dear God. But this is what we got. We got this nonsense going on out there today. It's all these programs to reach men's flesh. And has it really worked, huh? It's really helped the church, hasn't it? Oh, my words, we're going to places now. Gee. No, we're not. Things just keep going and go from bad to worse. It's about touching men's spirits. You need your inner man changed. You know, I found this out just in the areas of ministry. I have just been amazed just from going to Randall Greer's meeting and Randall Greer laying his hands on me, what it has changed things inside of me. I think, dear Lord, I would have loved to have had some of this stuff a long time ago. It has changed really how God's working in me. And what was it? God just telling him to lay hands on somebody and him imparting something to me that changed me. It wasn't, thank God, I mean, he has good messages. But I tell you, those messages wouldn't even mean what they all mean to me had not something been changed on the inside of me. And see, we need to understand, that's what this is about. You get changed on the inside, I tell you, it's no telling what's going to happen on the outside. Glory to God. Because if what's inside of you can explode and get out, think about this. The very power of God, the Holy Ghost, every bit of what God's power is already living in you. The church tries to keep coming in contact with power. And you know how they try to come in contact? Through the flesh. Divine healing isn't physical. It's spiritual. That's why most people can't hook up with it. Because they have no contact. They're always trying to feel something in the flesh. They're always trying to feel something on the outside. They're always trying to feel something. No, I'm going to tell you, if I get a sense of something, I want it on the inside. Because if I can get it on the inside, man, I guarantee you, it'll show up on the outside. It'll reveal itself to the outside. If I can hook up with it on the inside, it'll come to the outside. I will guarantee you. And you know, if I learn how to do that, I need it again, I can do it again. But if I didn't get it by the inside, I can't do it again. I'll be the same place I was before. Hallelujah. Not how to do it. That's why it's hooking up on the inner man. I'll never forget this, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I got filled with the Holy Spirit listening to Kenneth Hagin teaching on about his experience about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I listened to his experience how he got filled with the Holy Ghost. And he was got hanging around some Pentecostals. He didn't believe in the tongues, but he did because he understood divine healing and he believed in divine healing. But he didn't know about these Pentecostals, and he started hanging around them because he said, well, they believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. He said, I don't believe in that, but he said, I'll put up with a little foolishness over here and craziness to have fellowship with them on other areas that he knew was true. So he was walking down the street one day and he said, the Lord, Lord, what about this baptism of the Holy Ghost? And anyhow, the Lord gave him a real quick, brought some scriptures to his remembrance and brought them to him and spoke to him. And he realized that the baptism of the Holy Ghost was for today. He was supposed to be speaking in tongues. Well, he said, I'm going to go down to that pastor's house. He said there was an evangelist was staying there with him. I'm going to go down and have him lay hands on me. I'm going to get filled with the Holy Ghost. So he went down the house and they said, well, wait till the night till church. And he said, no, I can wait. You lay hands on me. I'll get it quick. Come on. I want to get filled with the Holy Ghost. And he got filled with the Holy Ghost. Anyhow, he laid hands on him. He got filled with the Holy Ghost. He talked about this. He said he prayed in tongues. He spoke in tongues and he said he sang a song in tongues or something like that. And then he made this statement later. He said, you know, I was sort of disappointed. I expected this great power thing to happen, and he said nothing happened. But he said what happened though was after a while, after he got filled with the Holy Ghost, stuff started happening. He started experiencing things afterwards where God started manifesting through him and doing stuff. But he said this, and this is why I got filled with the Holy Ghost that day in my bedroom by myself. He said this, he said, you know, I realized this after I got filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, I could have had that any time. He said, I could have spoken tongues any time I wanted to. See, it was really dealing on the areas of lack of knowledge. When he said that, the revelation came to me. I don't have to wait to go and get this thing. I can get this thing right now. I can be baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues right now. And I did it. And probably about 2 or 3 minutes later, I was praying and in other tongues, speaking in other tongues and doing that kind of thing and thinking the whole time I'm doing it, yeah, he's right. There ain't seen me much to this thing. And I know some people have had experience, they got filled with the Holy Ghost, they told, oh, the power of God came on me. I didn't have that. Well, I did not at all. I didn't have that at all. I just, you know, I said, I believe I received, and I just, for, you know, a couple of minutes, just doing, thank God for filling me with the Holy Ghost, and I just started making sounds, and I thought, this is crazy. To my mind was totally, you know, it wasn't in my mind that this thing was any kind of thing. Look, you're operating outside of intellect. I don't think anybody ever got filled with the Holy Ghost and thought that spoken and speaking in tongues made sense. If you did, sure it'd be different than I ever thought about it. I mean, maybe somebody does. I always thought it don't make no sense. Why? Because Paul said, he said when he prays in tongues, he said his understanding was unfruitful. In other words, he didn't understand what was going on. That's what he said. You see, when we try to minister the baptism of the Holy Spirit to people as intellectual, this is what ruins everything. Because people get over in the mental and they're looking to the mental side and trying to get a mental experience. I'm going to tell you what, there ain't no mental experience to it at all. You talking something that don't make no sense, and just people say, I've heard them say this. That's just gibberish. You're exactly right. That's exactly what it is, just gibberish. It's not for you to understand, and the knucklehead that wants to understand it never can get it. He don't realize he's the foolish person. He's the fool. He wants to get something that is divine through the natural. That's what, hey, that's what witchcraft is. That's what sorcery. It's trying to hook up to the spiritual things through the flesh. Believe me, I know. I was involved in it. That's why they use drugs and all kind of stuff. You've got to just make your mind get crazier and crazier and think dumber, crazier thoughts so the devil can get a hold of you a little bit more. That's why churches today and using all these, you know, their lighting systems and all their, you know, from even smoke machines, they're doing what the rock people do. You know, they get up there and they have their so-called choirs and different things, and they got all the flashing lights and they got all this stuff. They're just through the flesh trying to turn around and get a hold of people. They're trying to do it through the flesh, working through people's flesh. That's what we did. We used all the strobe lights and the drugs and stuff to chase the devil. That's what we did. And that's what they're doing today in churches. They're trying through the visual and through the flesh. You're going to worship. You don't come to worship God to see anything. You're not supposed to see to worship God. God cannot be seen with the eye. He could make himself visible, but you don't have to watch pretty scenes of things on a screen and all that kind of stuff. That ain't God, and that ain't God revealing himself. And see, we got all this nonsense today. That's why people know nothing about the Spirit. Because the churches are full of the flesh. And they're teaching people to let the flesh dominate you. We got to see more. We got to see more things. We got to see more stuff. And we got to fill ourselves with seeing. We got to see cute things. We need lights on the ceiling, over shining on the ceiling overhead so we can look up and see lights on the ceiling. We're worshiping God. That ain't God. That ain't what God does. I come into contact with God. God lives in it. He ain't on the ceiling. God, the Holy Ghost, lives in me. I'm not trying to reach God out there. God already moved in it. Hallelujah. He's living inside of me. Me and Him are partners. Glory to God. Me and Him work together. I got the best deal. Now understand that. He's definitely the senior partner. There's no doubt about that. He's the senior partner. But I'm a junior partner and probably very junior sometimes. But nonetheless, it's God inside of me. And we're coming to church looking for God, and that's what the world does. The world comes to church, and this is all they're doing. They're saying, we got to set an atmosphere. I'm going to tell you what, if you can't get God in time of trouble, you ain't going to reach Him in a church by having all kind of nice stuff so-called going on. I need, when things are lousy and the lights ain't right and things are going miserable, I need to be able to come in contact with God. That's when I need Him. And if I have to go and get on some strobe lights and get a smoke machine going and all that kind of stuff to run into God, I'm sorry. You know, the people out in 78 in the accident, they didn't have that. Can God show up there? Not for most churches, He can't. Most Spirit-filled churches, He can't. Because people have been trained that you have to have the right mood. Oh, we need candlelight. Let's have a candlelight service. That'll be real spiritual. Oh, my word, so we get candles. Lord knows, surely, heaven's going to go, woo-hoo! They finally hit it. They hit the jackpot now. My God, they got candles. Or we can just turn around and take our phones up and put them in. We'll all sing Kumbaya. What do you think? I didn't mean to go into this morning, but I'm meddling, ain't I? But I want you to understand something. You want to run in God. You want to experience God. And you don't need those things to experience God. You got God in you. You got God in you. Many times I found myself as my development as a young Christian. The reason I didn't run into God sometimes for long periods of time, because I was trying to run into God through my flesh. I was trying, if I could just hit the jackpot, just if I could just do enough praying. You know, I remember Kenneth Hagin, I remember hearing it, I was so glad to hear it. He said one time, they said to him, how long do you have to pray? Do you think you have to pray to do, you know, such as? He said, I only have to pray long enough to get the job done. He said, if I can do it in 10 minutes, I'll pray 10 minutes. He said, but I don't pray a long time just to be praying a long time. Now, sometimes you got certain things you might pray a long time. There's some things you may, over a period of time, go back to it numbers of times. Sometimes the things of prayer, I find myself doing that. But these people, after a while, it becomes a sort of a mental gymnastic type of thing. Well, if I just do enough this, then God would move. I would get over there as a young Christian, start doing that. God has started correcting me on it. Because what I wasn't doing is walking by faith. I'm trying to perform for Him to get Him to do something for me. I wasn't just using faith. I found out things that I could just use my faith for. I didn't need to pray about it at all. But I was over there doing, going through those gymnastics. You will always have the tendency, I don't know why it is with us humans, but we're like this. We have the tendency to want to get religious, to try to get over, to do things to carry, you know, in the flesh, to try to pleasing God. Now, God is pleased when our flesh is in line, but I'm going to tell you what, when your flesh gets in line because through the Spirit, you're going to be a whole different being. You might follow laws and rules, but you know, when you walk along, you know, it's sort of like Alcoholics Anonymous. I'll never forget, I worked with a guy at Lebanon County Prison. I worked at Lebanon County Prison, and there was a guy in there who was an alcoholic. I tried to talk to him about some things. He said he was a Christian. I don't know. I never quite got that he was, but he went to church, you know, but he was Alcoholics Anonymous. But he was never free of drinking. I mean, he was always having to call whoever it was, one of his guys, and he's always wanting to have a drink. You know, anything that happened, you know, any little thing that happened in his life that things didn't go right, and sometimes, just minor, almost nothing, he wanted to go have a drink. Now, I never had that problem. I just went and drank. I was never one of these, you have a problem to drink. I drank when you felt good, felt whatever. I just, hey, let's just go drink. My God. There's one thing about it. You need to understand this, folks. You can be glad some people drink. Because if they didn't, they might be out killing people. See, sometimes we make fun of people. I'll tell you what, it's just like we take some crazy person, we give them a sedative. I was one of those guys that needed a sedative. When I was sober, I was an ugly man. I'd punch your lights out quick. They didn't make men big enough that I wouldn't punch. I was an idiot. I was crazy. I had a demon. And the only way I could get that to stop, if I got drunk enough all the time, my flesh couldn't do all it wanted to. And it didn't want to do any good, let me tell you. So I would drink, it would subdue me. I was a happy drunk and miserable sober. And I wasn't happy, you know, it wasn't the sober bit, it wasn't because I was just having a hangover being sober. It's because that demon would totally dominate me. And when I would get drunk, that demon couldn't. That's why people today, with depression, most people that are depressed are dealing with demons. And they have a demon. And they're dealing with it. And they take a drug to subdue their body and their mind so that demon can't do all he wants to do. They're dealing with demonic problems. I mean, go to a Christian, so-called Christian psychologist, and he won't deal with the demon. He'll give you a drug, too. He'll want to give you one. Now, take the drug, keep the demon. Hallelujah. When I got delivered of that demon, that was the most wonderful thing that ever happened to me. I realized that's why I quit drinking. I got delivered. I got saved. I got delivered from that demon, left me. Man, that's a changed man. Well, this poor guy, he just had to drink all the time. He just wanted to drink. And I would think, that was such a terrible thing. But see, you know, he never was ever free. He never got free. Never. Drinking still dominated him, even though he wasn't doing it. Many Christians are this way. I'm going to tell you what. There's guys and women, they want to cheat on their mate. They'd love to. But they're religious enough that they don't do it. But their flesh keeps wanting to get after somebody else. They never get over it. There's all kind of people get all kind of things where they have problems in areas and that stuff. And what they don't realize, they never changed. Because nothing's ever changed on the inside. And you want to change it on the inside. That you're no longer driven by that. See, when I came to the thing and I wasn't driven to drink, that was the most incredible thing that I ever ran into in my life. When I first got saved, I was not driven to drink anymore. I wasn't driven. There's no driving to do it. Man, to me, that was definitely a new life. That was a new life. Ed was a new man. Ed was no longer driven. Somebody get out and booze and set it out there, and that's Stephen. You know, I was at the place. If I wanted to, I could. If I didn't want to, I never had that choice before. I never had that choice. There was that driving inside of me. Now, there's many people, maybe they could keep their flesh under control, but they never keep their flesh under control because it is actually under control. Their flesh still wants to do it, and they're fighting it all the time and fighting it all the time. They're sinning, the people commit. They're fighting all the time. Why? Because they've never got free on the inside. They've never got the freedom. They've never come into the knowledge of the freedom that they have, where they lose the desire, where that desire of the flesh no longer taunts them. Learn this. You've heard me say this so many times, but I tell you, it needs to come a revelation to you. James said, if a man can control his tongue, he can control his whole body. Now, you need to understand this. It's getting your tongue tied to your inner man. See, that's what faith's about. Faith is about speaking out of your heart. It's not just saying words. You see, that guy that was a drunken, but he was always wanting to go back and drink. Now, he was following the theory that they gave him, you know, on what to do. Believe in a higher power. See, he's following on. He has all these things. If you have problems, then you call somebody, and they try to talk you out of going and drinking. And then, you know, we need to go get together, and we need to get you away, you know, so you don't have a drink, and trying to talk them out. Going through those things. They're going, but you know what? He's saying, I don't want to drink. But you know what? His heart wanted to drink. There's never been a change on the inside of him. See, I found this out. This is why the power of God changed. We fight things. We're dealing with spiritual battles, trying to deal with them through the flesh and wondering why. And I don't know about you. Don't you get worn out sometimes trying to overcome things? Have you been working some things for years and get nowhere at it? Have you got to the end of you yet? This is why the battle... I found out the battle went on for Ed because Ed kept trying to solve the problem. Ed was trying to figure out, what's wrong with me? Well, man, you know, if I would just... Man, if I just had more willpower, if I just had this or I just had that... And that's what people are taught today. You just use your willpower. I'm going to tell you what. I'd be in hell today if my willpower... I didn't have the willpower to get saved. I didn't have the willpower to walk and follow God. I don't have that much willpower. I don't have the willpower. What I have is the power of God in me. God did something. God took a man and changed him. And this guy that he changed will do things for God because of what God changed in me. It wasn't by my willpower. And see, it's understand. This is why we want, this is like praying in tongues. We need to understand. We pray in tongues. It says when we praying in tongues, we're not speaking unto men, but unto God. We're praying, saying things. There's things that your spirit wants to speak out to God that will absolutely change your life. If we'll operate over in that place where it's not in the intellect. The devil wants to keep us in the intellect. The devil has brought his propaganda into the church and done a wonderful job with taking major leaders within the Spirit-filled movement and got them over to move away from things of the Spirit and teach their psychology today. And it's left people open up to the devil where he's dominating Christians' lives. And we have all this flesh. So now there's so much flesh, now we got to teach it. Now, if you live in the flesh, don't worry. You don't even have to ask forgiveness anymore. They got so fed up not being able to help people, now they're making up doctrines. That leaving you don't have to get straightened out. Just get to heaven. Live like hell while you're here. I know this. These men have no power. They don't know nothing about the power of God. They don't even know their need. They've got to know themselves over mentally where they think they're so bright they can run this thing. Ed can't run it without the power of God. I want you to understand this. It ain't brilliant. If it ain't God, if he ain't working in it, it ain't going to nothing change. It's through the power of God. And you and I are just hooking up with the power of God. That's what we do. That's what the baptism of the Holy Ghost is about. Hooking up with the power of God. God wants you to hook up with that thing that's inside of you. You want to change things? It's running into it on the inside, not on the outside. It's not turning over a new leaf in life. Dear Lord, I did this thing so many times. I just really thank God before I got saved, I had run out of that turning leaves over in life. Because I'm going to tell you, every time I turned over a leaf, it didn't last. I mean, maybe sometimes I did something for maybe up to a week. Usually not that. Usually till the end of the day, I was back into the mess I was already in. Things didn't work. And I finally came to things that it ain't going to change your life. So I said, well, let's quit fighting it. I don't see how some people live their whole life. They live for life in 20, 30 years and just keep fighting things and fighting things and fighting things. I just call it beating the dead horse. The dead horse is down. It's like, man, we got to do something different. I found that this, man, I've cried out to God many times. And I've come to my place where saying, God, it's done. I'm sorry I kept trying to fix this thing, Lord, but I have worn me out. I have done the dumbest thing just trying to do it myself. Lord, if you don't help me, it's stuck. Now, I'm coming to you for help. This is it. See, someday you've got to come to that place where you're tired of trying to fix you. Aren't you tired of fixing you? Has it worked? I'm tired of all the stupid counseling. I'm tired of all the dumb stuff. I'm tired of the guy that went to counseling for 5 years and is as bad off as he was when he went the first time. Why? Because the person trying to counsel him is as bound as he is. They just keep trying to act like they're real spiritual. I know people that are counselors and counsel things in churches have some of the most messed up lives you'd ever know. They should never be counseling anybody for nothing. But they, well, we all have problems. But you shouldn't have the most if you're doing the counseling, because if you can't get rid of your problems, how are you going to help somebody get rid of theirs? And I'm just telling you, the only way I know how to get rid of mine is Jesus. I don't know how to get the Holy, hooking up with the Holy Ghost on the inside of me, getting something from Jesus Christ to change Ed. Hallelujah. I want you to stand to your feet. If you're here this morning, I had no intent in this. It must be when I pray. If you have just been, you've been working at things and you're just tired of working at it. You have been trying to overcome in areas and that stuff, and you just know when you're not getting anywhere. I want to tell you what, I believe God will help you today. God's going to do something in you. I'm not going to promise you're going to feel glory fall out of heaven, knock you in the head, and lay you out up here for 2 hours. It could. But I'll tell you what, I know this.